I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché indeed.
Touché, we're back.
Hey. Back. I think we're finally over the Illinois primary hangover that consumed us the last few weeks. This weekend helped with Donald Trump's strange approach to courting women and Senator Bernie Sanders making a late run by winning some states this weekend. And closer to home, pensions? No. Blagojevich getting out of prison? No. Possible end to the state budget stalemate?
No.
No.
Let's argue, debate, yell over each other like you do when you're supposed to be talking politics, like you did yesterday at the Easter table with our regular segment Touché in studio, Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling. Dave, a Democrat analyst, Chris, a Republican analyst, and they tussle every Monday here on the Download. Good to see you guys.
Hey, good to see you too. And I'm glad our tussling is just verbal tussling.
right.
I don't want to get into that Trump level kind of tussle.
That the open carry petition that you that's going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so let's get right to it. Let's start with the Democrat side. Let's start with Senator Sanders. Big weekend. Is it too late?
Yes.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. And the Bernie people are feeling all puffed up today, and Bernie was all excited, and that's great. And then David Plouffe, Obama's delegate guru, wrote a great piece in which he said the chance of Hillary Clinton not being the nominee is zero. Just to put it in perspective, Bernie's making a big deal out of the fact he won five of the last six. And he did. And in those five of six, he gained fewer net delegates than Hillary got in Florida.
Yeah, but he's complaining about that. He's taking it in a step. He's saying, I'm winning, and I think we need to change a system where I'm winning states and votes aren't counted.
Yeah, but he wants to have it both ways because, you know, a few days ago he said, well, I think the superdelegates can decide this thing if we move forward, and I'm winning some of these states by big margins. So you can't either live by the superdelegates or you die by the superdelegates. Yeah.
Obviously, there is some weakness with Hillary, or this would not be going on. I'm not saying that it is some sort of fatal weakness. I'm not saying that it's riven the party such that the Republicans are gaining an overwhelming advantage from this. I'm not saying that. In fact, I think on the Republican side, there is a real split going on, and that could have very dramatic consequences. But folks who care about Hillary or care about Hillary winning, if they can get over the 150 FBI agents who are investigating her. then
which is being disputed.
Let's see. Yeah. Did I win the pool? That took exactly 93 seconds, Chris. Congratulations.
Now the Washington Post is writing about it. So all of the Hillary people are going to have to admit that something actually is going on. But in any case, something is also going on with Bernie Sanders. And Hillary and her people, this is called what, you know, Mao's famous essay, the negation of the negation. They have to find a way to overcome this challenge, which has traction. It has traction with a part of her base. And she doesn't have to squash it. She's got to reconcile it, presumably, to win in November.
Do you agree? I mean, as someone, you've come out, you've supported Hillary before. Does the push to the left, the push towards Bernie Sanders platforms and things, is that going to stick? Is that something that she continues to sort of champion after this thing is decided and she's the nominee at the convention?
Yeah, I mean, look, Bernie has had a profound impact on this race and on the Democratic race. He has pushed Hillary to the left in places that she's not particularly comfortable. All of that having been said, it's like every 4 years or every 8 years we live through something and completely forget what happened before. In 2008, the campaign between Clinton and Obama was intense, and it was nasty,
it was
personable, or very personal. You know, the Hillary, you're likable enough. I mean, that was a nasty race. I mean, this is not pleasant. It's not fun if you're, you know, on the losing end of things. But at the end of the day, the thing that will unite Democrats is the Republican nominee, which is going to be Donald Trump.
Well, let's make a transition. Donald Trump, I can't tell what the strategy is here with the constant, I don't know what it is, but just bringing up the vote, the women vote. I mean, there just seems to be constant foot in mouth problem with Donald Trump as he tries to, I guess, work his way out of some bad tweets in the last week and a half.
Well, I mean, his tweeting thing is something very different. But, you know, I don't like Trump, and I hope he's not the nominee. And I, you have to say at this point, there's only going to be one. The nominee is either going to be Cruz or Trump. And right now it is likely that it will be Trump, but it is by no means certain. And it's by no means as certain that Trump will be the nominee on the Republican side as it is that Hillary will be the nominee on the Democratic side until the perp walk, until she gets indicted. But in any case, you know, Cruz could actually win this thing. But Trump is a profoundly flawed candidate for president.
So it's hard. I mean, every you can go to everywhere around the. I mean, how he's campaigning and what he, poke holes and
what he has
doing,
going yeah. for him is a lot of people like him, and a lot of people are coming out to vote for him, and he's bringing people into the process in record numbers, and that is itself. I've said this from the very beginning. I said this at a Lundy lunch in August or something. There is something to be learned by that, just like there's something to be learned by Bernie Sanders.
No, I agree with that. But here's the thing. Politics is a game of addition. And what Donald Trump is doing right now is constant subtraction. So you can't have the negatives that he has, a net negative 65% among Latinos, 90% among African Americans. But the women number is just staggering. There were two polls out this weekend. One of which showed him as a net negative of 50 points. The other was 38, net negative 38. Even among Republican women, he had a 40% negative rating. Hmm. I mean, you just can't keep losing key demographic groups and win at the end of the day.
You know, I mean, that's I think that's selective. Honestly, I think
selective?
That David is being
women, Latinos, blacks.
It is selective.
Muslims.
It's selective because you've selected Trump. I could cite Hillary as the least trusted individual ever to be considered for the nomination of a major
Other
political
than Trump.
Party. No, Hillary has got worse trust figures
no,
than
Trump. Is rising. Trump is rising.
Well,
he's trying to compete
there
with her.
That's the poll of record. Like, who do we trust less?
Great. Well, I'm saying these all contribute to this extraordinary and unprecedented and sort of baffling year that we're going through.
Well, I mean, for you, Chris, to you know, there every single day, you know, the media tries to get Donald Trump to talk about some of the bigger issues, foreign policy being one,
right.
other
right.
things, and he continues to, I don't know, further himself from a
right.
traditional Republican stance. He wants
right.
to undo and change treaties, change things around. What's your take on it as someone who? You know, that's the bread and butter of what you're talking about.
I don't think that he's prepared to be president. And I mean, I'm going to be supporting him if he's the nominee of the party. But this is a guy who...
I don't understand that.
Well, if you were supporting Bernie right now, you'd probably say you're not crazy about Hillary, but you're going to support
her. Yeah, but Bernie's
her.
Not unfit to be president.
No,
Donald Trump is unfit to be president.
No, we're talking in my suggestion, Hillary is in the Trump. But in any case... I am here to tell you, you think of the McGovern people back in 72, but I'm here to tell you that Trump is saying things that defy reason and logic. And I am not crazy about that. And I think that to some extent it reverberates with a segment of the population. There are people out there who think that foreign entanglements are of no use. You hear this coming up not just with politics and with international relations, but also on the area of trade. And of course, when people say that about trade, they're betraying, you know, I think a lot of heartfelt emotion, but also very little economic understanding.
Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, touche. We are our Monday segment here on The Download. Let's take a break and go local. Let's talk Rauner,
yeah.
Emanuel. Let's get closer to home here on The Download. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
You go right. Touche. There it is. Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy in studio for our Monday check-in here on All Things Politics. You know, guys, we have been talking national, and we did a lot before the primary, but let's talk local. Today, a big day for Mayor Emanuel. He kind of became Mayor Emanuel again in the way that he said, I'm not going to take the police board recommendations. I'm going with my own guy.
Even though he was theoretically obligated to do so.
Yeah. So talk about Mayor Emanuel, because obviously all eyes are on him as the city, you know, moves forward, and here comes the spring and the summer.
Well, the mayor has an enormous challenge. He has become singularly disliked, and within the communities, within the African American community, within the Latino community. I mean, there really is a fundamental distrust for the mayor at this time, and he has to figure out how to earn that trust back. There's also a distrust of the mayor, clearly within the police force. I mean, what's one of the least reported stories is that what has happened since the Laquan McDonald case and this year in the crime stats. I mean, we've reported the crime stats, crimes going up. But what's going on with the interplay between the police and the community that has led to this doubling of murders and shootings? And I mean, something has changed here. And I think that the decision that the mayor made to appoint somebody from within the department and an African-American within the department
has a lot to do with morale.
To do with morale and trying to say, hey, we need to have a better relationship.
What do you think of the mayor, Chris?
Well, he's a detestable he's a detestable opportunist, and he's damaged goods, and he's a serial liar and prevaricator, and he's been caught in it. And I think if you listen closely to what Dave Lundy just said, and you read closely what David Axelrod has said, he really drew the short straw in succeeding Richie Daley, who ignored the issues that were apparent to everyone and basically ran bread and circuses, according to John Cass of this august organization. I still think of the Tribune, GN, you know, as one.
Sure.
And so what happened here is that, you had bread and circuses from Daley, and nobody paid any of the bills. And then Rahm was essentially kicked out of the White House by Valerie Jarrett because they detest each other. And so Rahm gets in this job as mayor, but he doesn't have anything to pay these incredible bills. And then he goes and he starts lying about the police force. And I want to say, I agree with what David just said. He promised year in, year out, this is tops, we're doing it right. We brought in Gary McCarthy. He knows what he's doing. He has all my trust, all my confidence. Then the moment the Laquan, and he knew for a year, Laquan, you know, the whole thing. And then off goes Gary McCarthy. And then he sets up a new national search. He says, we're going to do it right this time. We're going to get somebody. The national search, they turn the crank a few times on the black box, comes up with the wrong people. So what does he do? Out that goes. Now I'm Rahm Emanuel again. Excuse me. Can I say that on the radio?
I don't think you can.
And I'm going to do what I want. So this is the old Rahm, you know, let me pick up the phone and yell at somebody, Emanuel.
Right. Well, I mean, Dave, how does a Rahm Emanuel get back on top? I mean, because we know Mayor Emanuel not only is just the mayor of Chicago, but he's a big player in the Democratic Party. Obviously, with Hillary Clinton running in 2016, he has contacts with the Clintons. This seems to be Rahm time.
Well, it does, but fundamentally, you need to start small. You need to start with the core issues, the trust issues, the community issues. I'm not embracing everything that Chris just said.
Go ahead.
In his inimitable, subtle, you have no idea where he's coming from fashion. Nonetheless, there's a trust chasm in the city. And you saw that in the Illinois primary where everybody was trying to tie their opponent to the mayor.
Right.
I mean,
we're Bernie ran against Rahm Emanuel.
I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Yeah.
It was bizarre and it was effective.
We're approaching, Rahm is approaching Mayor Abe Beam status. And if you remember an obscure movie, it was actually absolutely fantastic movie, Robert Shaw and Walter Matthau, called The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
Fabulous movie.
Okay.
I love that movie.
There you go.
Agree.
Validation.
You agree.
We agree. But The Taking of Pelham.
Two thumbs up.
The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 is the story of a hijacked New York City subway train. It's an absolutely spectacular. See the original, not the remake. And in the original, which was filmed while Abe Beam was mayor, they had the mayor showing up to express concern about what was going on down in the subway. And when the mayor would show up, the entire crowd would boo, because that's what would happen in New York in the 70s, right, with Mayor Abe Beam. I want to tell you,
It's a long setup for that payoff.
Well, Rahm Emanuel is getting to the point where I don't know.
Does he have an out? Does he have a parachute here?
He's not going to be on top.
If Hillary Clinton wins in 2016, does Rahm Emanuel go, oh, you guys, they need me as ambassador of New Zealand. I got
to
do
it. I think he's going to HUD.
Yeah.
He's looking at HUD.
I think that ship has sailed.
Really?
I think that the toxicity that surrounds him. I mean, he's going to have to pull some major crisis and pull the rabbit out of his hat and turn it all around and demonstrate the kind of leadership that Rudy Giuliani did at 9/11. Not that that's what anybody wants, but he's got to show some really high-level leadership that makes people take a second look.
And
it's going to be challenging
for him. And by the way, I was speaking on behalf of Rahm Emanuel during the re-election because of his devotion to getting jobs to Chicago. But if you look closely now at what he's been doing with jobs for Chicago, what is he doing? He's taking, like, it's in Fran Spielman's story today in the Sun-Times. He's got some the Whole Foods warehouse coming into Pullman from Indiana. He's taken corporate headquarters from, say, Schaumburg or Lincolnshire and brought them downtown. Any regional, Jeff Hewings, the great regional economist of the University of Illinois, will tell you in a heartbeat, that is a total waste of time.
It's a zero sum, yeah.
Yeah, but I'll take jobs from Indiana any day of the week.
Okay, let's get to this, because I kind of teased this out. Let me ask you, was it bad taste for Governor Rauner to be in a Wilmette school today, taking pictures and doing photo opportunities?
No, it was not.
A teacher strike on Friday.
Look, it's I posted about this on Facebook. I live in Wilmette. My kid goes to Wilmette Public School, and had the governor showed up at my kid's school in fifth and sixth grade, my son would have probably led a rally against the governor. But it was just weird optics. I mean, the governor is being his policies have decimated the social service sector around this state.
Not true.
100%
absolutely
true.
Not true.
It's what Edgar said. It's what everybody.
That's not what Edgar said.
Edgar
did not say that.
Him of holding the budget hostage.
He did not say Rauner decimated social services. You
no,
were wrong.
He said
that was not
that by
said.
Holding the budget hostage, these organizations are being
let's
decimated.
Let's get Edgar
that's
on
a
the
fact.
Phone. Call Jim Edgar. God. Gosh darn it. Call Jim Edgar.
Again?
This is
we need
not
a 7-second delay for
I
want
to tell
you,
Rauner has stood up to the folks who gave us this disaster. And it's the disaster that Rahm has proven unable to deal
two
with.
2 years, no budget.
I'm sorry. 12 years of Democrat domination, no progress whatsoever.
Great progress was being made until the governor allowed the tax increase to disappear. Our unpaid bills were down to below $4 billion. They're now going to hit $10 billion by June.
Right. I want to tell you, I don't think there's a thing wrong with him going to Wilmette. I think Wilmette kids deserve public school, just like kids in Cairo and Galena and
yes, I agree.
And Pullman
but
and every other neighborhood.
But from a political perspective are terrible.
No, the optics are not terrible because those kids deserve
maybe
public
school.
Maybe he's
going there because his base
like
is weakening.
Else.
Maybe
well,
he's losing support.
Let me ask you, Rich Miller had a
folks.
Good piece in Capital Facts today about the obscure ruling at the Illinois Supreme Court talking about really opening up the door for possible litigation, saying the courts can't pay for state workers, that it's got to be from the General Assembly.
The courts can't order.
Can't order it without an appropriation.
Right.
And so the what had been happening is that people had been operating as if you had a contract that you would be paid regardless of whether there was a state budget. And what the court did is it put into question whether that was true. Because
activist.
It basically said you must have an appropriation passed by the legislature.
What does that mean?
Activist
that mean?
Liberal courts downstate that are allied with the unions. Every story that we are talking
about.
I'm talking about the Belleville trial court was an activist judge. They went down to St. Clair County and they looked for a judge who would impose this solution.
That's the new political
and that's
way.
What they found.
Both sides do that.
And
now.
What
this was the Illinois Supreme Court that
no,
has
I'm talking
been completely
about the,
consistent in its rulings.
Right. But I'm talking about the trial court judge that wrote the order that has been followed by the state of Illinois. And what this has done, the Supreme Court of the state of Illinois speaks for the law of Illinois. And the Supreme Court of Illinois has admonished that maybe not specifically, but generally they have admonished the trial court judge. You cannot substitute your order for an accomplished act of the General Assembly and right. the governor.
So what does it mean? Does it mean that at some point or another...
people are going to stop getting paid.
Yeah, it functionally means that if this keeps going and if another ruling happens that says that basically if the Attorney General goes in, which she's planning to go in and ask for a ruling on this, it could mean an actual government shutdown. Because one of the weird things about this impasse we've got is because of these court orders again and again and again, 90% of our government is being funded.
Yeah, the court's running
social service providers that are not being funded, but everybody else is. And so if we wind up with an actual government shutdown. In other words, people can't get their driver's licenses renewed. They can't get their
state
license
workers
plate
aren't
renewed.
Paid,
state
right.
workers aren't being paid. Then you might have the kind of crisis that will force a resolution, which might force the governor to say, okay, we're not going to keep down this crazy path of saying, I must have
hold
my,
on, hold
quote,
on.
Turnaround agenda.
Now he's
I'm late on the
and
news.
Instead we'll do a budget.
No. Tell the news guy to wake up.
He's getting his headphones on. With you two down there, I am wide awake, wide gentlemen, awake. Hanging on
He's
your every word.
Rapt attention to every
Dave
word.
Lundy. Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling, we've got to leave it there. We'll have plenty of time to talk about this every Monday here on The Download. Touche, Dave Lundy, a Democrat analyst, Chris Roebling, a Republican analyst. Thank
Touché.
You guys for being here.
Touche.